look at. And I'm going to read it now and just speak to it a little bit further in our time this evening. And incidentally, it's the same as Greg spoke on this morning. This was the passage I had in mind for this evening, and I thought about changing it, but then decided against it. So what I will do is read Mark's account, just for the sake of some variety. And so here we just the break into that passage here, where the Lord Jesus is, as Greg laid out the context this morning for us, Lord Jesus teaching in this parable of the sower and the seed. It's the outset of his teaching ministry, it appears, and as he begins, and he starts with this parable. And so I'll read the explanation of it once again. So this is Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure it for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So again, I'm just going to read that, set it aside for a moment, and we'll just a couple of thoughts concerning that in a little bit. Maybe we'll Greg finished early this morning. That puts a little pressure on, I have to say. I suspect my goal is to finish earlier, so we'll see how that plays out. In terms of the ministry, I'm the one standing at the front, as you well know, but it's very much a partnership. Diane and I, we enter this together and co-labor, and although perhaps one takes more of the public role at times, it's not the more important role by any means. And I know you appreciate that and understand that. And we just very much want to express our gratitude to the fellowship here for your support. And that's expressed in so many ways, certainly in a financial way, but also your words of encouragement and your genuine love and support for us. It's felt deeply, and it's just very much appreciated. So we want to just say that at the outset. We love being a part of this fellowship, and the Lord has blessed us and our family, and you are the conduit of that. So we just are thankful to be here and be involved in some of these things that we'll discuss. And so we will resume our Tuesday night study with the young people that we started two. This will be our third fall doing this, the third year. And that's an exciting thing that we enjoy doing, the high school age students to come on Tuesday evening and open up the Word of God. And we have supper together, and then we study together. And I'm just encouraged that young people come. I think that's just a tremendous thing. And this is sort of a theme perhaps that will run through this evening, but I don't buy what's proposed as a prevailing view that young people aren't interested in things of God or spiritual things. I adamantly disagree with that. I see very differently, and as we work through some of these things tonight and consider, I hope that comes clear, because that certainly is certainly something I feel strongly about. Young people are interested in something genuine. What the world has to offer has been tried and found wanting. And we hold the word of truth. And I'm just so thankful for that, that we have something substantial, something eternal to offer the next generation. And so on Tuesday nights when they come, we've looked at various things throughout the last couple of years. We've studied through the book of Galatians. We did an expositional study through that. We did the Christianity Explored again together. And last year we worked through the book of Daniel, which was a daunting task, but I trust a profitable one. That's some heavy lifting. If you've ever endeavored to go through the book of Daniel from chapter 1 to chapter 12, that's a big endeavor. And I was really encouraged that they stuck with it, that they were engaged, that they came out, and just wanted to be a part of that. And so we're thankful. And again, we just trust that the seed that was sown falls on rich soil to bear fruit, and time will tell. So we'll resume that for those who fall into that demographic after the Fall Classic. That's sort of the kickoff to youth group, and so we'll resume our study in later September, 5 o'clock to about 7 o'clock once again. Although some I know linger past 7, that's okay. We enjoy that too. So that's one thing that we've been engaged with, and as I said, it's just been a very encouraging thing to be a part of, to see the young people come. We get about 7 to 9 regularly, and just to come to set aside a time through their busy school year and to immerse themselves and study in the Word of God, because it's particularly last year when we're working through the book of Daniel, it wasn't light. And they take notes and they study and they learn, and so it's just been good. It's been good for me as well, just to be a part and to prepare for that. Other things, you know, the visitation and Bible studies, that sort of thing is ongoing, and try to don't want to schedule things too tightly through the year so that we don't have time to, sometimes that's mentioned to either Diana or myself, and so well, you're very busy, so you know we didn't call you or didn't ask because you know you're busy, and feel a little bit bad about giving that perception. Everybody's busy, and that's just life, but please don't not contact us because you think we're busy. All right, this is the work that we want to be involved in, and so don't let that be a reason to not text or call or email or message or whatever means of contact. We want to be involved in the life of this assembly in very real ways. Once again, through this winter, I'll be involved in the pastoral on-call at TDH. And that's not something that's reserved for people in full-time Christian ministry, by the way. If you have time, I know Veronique at TDH, who she attends the one of the Pentecostal churches in town. She's in charge of the pastoral care unit at the hospital. And she would be more than delighted to have more people come and volunteer. And the time commitment is minimal. It's really structured around your schedule. And so what's required is maybe once a month. She makes the schedule up monthly. And so there's a number of people who are on this list. And what it is simply is that through the evenings and weekends when there's no one on, Veronique works through the day. She's on staff there full-time at TDH, but she's not working evenings, obviously, and so they want somebody to be available for a patient who comes into eMERGE or is an MHU or on any of the floors and who requests some type of pastoral counsel or care. And so there are representatives from various churches in town, I just really encourage, we would like to have an evangelical presence there. I think that would be profitable. So if you're thinking about through the winter, what you would, you're wondering, you're in this situation, you're sitting and you're before the Lord saying, Lord, I have time on my hands and I wonder what I can do to serve you. And perhaps this is an opportunity. You can see me and we can talk more about it. I can put you in contact with the right people at TDH. But in a couple of years, I think I've been called two or three times. So it's not like it's every weekend you're getting called out in the middle of the night. Happens very rarely. And usually you're not required to do a whole lot except sit and listen. People are in distress and they just want someone to come in who's in some capacity of an official sort of capacity at the hospital there. It's not a paid position. It's you're not on staff and you're not a trained counselor, and so you're not expected to go beyond your level of comfort or expertise. But there are people who are hurting in this world, and it's an avenue into their lives. And so, again, I just leave that with you to consider. And if you would see yourself perhaps in that type of role, there's opportunity there. There's a need there. There is. And so I leave that with you just to consider. One of the things that I was able to get involved with, this will be the eighth season. And this is something that's, the Lord opens doors sometimes that are just a real delight, just a lot of fun. And just thankful to be a part of the Huskies, with the ministry there, with the Rowan Randa Huskies and through HMI Hockey Ministries, and to go and open the Word of God with these young hockey players. And again, just getting back to what I said a little bit ago, when people say that young people are not interested in the Word of God, here's again evidence that I've experienced to the contrary. Here's a group of 16 to 20 year olds who are living away from home. They're playing hockey. I mean, they're amateur, but they're essentially working full time hours with a goal of playing hockey as a career. Most of them won't. A few of them will. And so they're consumed with hockey. This is their life. This has been their life since a young age. And they're not forced to come out to the chapel sessions. The coach, he wants the players to be to engage in it. He doesn't force them. And so I go in twice a month after one of their morning practices. They've been on the ice for two, sometimes 3 hours. And I go and I sit in their video room and wait. More than often than not, our typical attendance is about 12 to 15 guys. And so that's more than half of the team that come out. The coach comes out and usually the assistant coaches as well. So here, again, these are young guys who have, most of whom have no church affiliation, no experience in church, and what experience they do have is sort of a dull ritualistic type of experience. And yet they're intrigued by the Word of God and how it speaks into their life, and how it speaks relevance and truth, and that's something that they're very, very interested in. So my only regret is that I don't have more time to spend with them, given the distance and their schedule and my schedule. But the little bit of time, again, it's sowing seed. It's sowing seed, the eternal Word of God into their lives, trusting that the Spirit of God will take that seed and it'll bear fruit at some point. These young guys will go on. They'll move on to other places. Some will carry on in hockey. And if they do, just trust that they will continue in a team that'll have a chapel program. Most teams have a chapel program. So the Huskies, they're in the Quebec Major Junior League. 9 or 10 of the 18 teams have chapels. And the OHL, I believe every team has somewhat of a chapel, maybe not regularly, but they all have some contact. The WHL, I think all the teams do. And then you move up into the American League. Most, if not all, of the American League teams have active chapel programs. And now in the NHL, all but 6 teams have chapel programs, maybe 5. It's because the LA Kings have agreed this year to have a chapel. I think that's the first time. So the door is opening in the hockey world, and these young guys are interested on some level in both spiritual things at the very base of it, and about the claims of Christ as well. And so just an encouraging little work there. And so pray for these young guys that their hearts would be open, that they would come with ears to hear as we consider throughout the day today, and that their lives would be transformed, that they would not just take life principles from the Word of God. And that's always a temptation to go and just is I'm there for, like I say, twice a month. I'm only there for, you know, maybe about 20 minutes or so to open up the Scriptures and say something to them, and it's always sort of a, you know, how do you present in 20 minutes something and you know, they don't have much of a understanding of the Word of God. Thankfully, you know, I'm there for the whole year, and so we can sort of build on principles as we go through. But just pray for that work. It's something that I feel like particularly blessed to be involved with. I love the game. I used to live there as a child, played in that arena, and so there's a lot of nostalgia in terms of that, and a real sense when I walk through those doors, there's some real strong memories when I just smell that arena and look around. They've renovated it extensively, but they're still the same feel. And those who've played hockey, you know exactly what I mean. But there's just an enjoyable ministry, and the coach, so favorable, not a believer, but just he signed on a contract for another 3 seasons there, so it does, from a human standpoint, give stability to the chapel program as well. And so just thankful for the Lord opening that door. And I think of in the book of Isaiah where the Lord calls Cyrus his anointed. This was not a godly king, but the Lord used him as an instrument to bless his people and to do things for God. And I think of this in a similar way, who, you know, the management of this hockey team, they're not believers. But they see something of value in the chapel program, in the Scriptures, and that's not true of everybody in the hockey world for sure. But it's becoming more and more common, and so we're thankful for that. I want to just now switch here to some of the camp work. That's, although it's only 2 months of operational. Operational function. Of course, the work takes in a little bit more than the 2 months. We're with the startup, the preparation, the cleanup, the planning, and then at the other side of it, some of the close up and preparation for next year that's already begun. So a few slides on the wall here. Some faces you'll recognize, of course, being yourselves. And I tried to capture some of the photos that feature our own people here. Don't have all of you, unfortunately, but we try to get as many as possible. Through the summer at camp, this past summer, which is about typical, we had 297 campers come through, and that excludes the two family camp sessions, which both this year were pretty much full. Last year, we were low numbers at the family camp. That seemed to be a little blip on the radar. This year, we had good numbers, full camps at the family camps. People often ask about the other camps, the kids' camps. Are they always full? No, they're not always full. They're most of the time not full. That's just the way it goes. The numbers fluctuate from year to year, session to session, but overall, the trend seems to be fairly consistent in terms of who's there. And from week to week, and our staffing, because number of our kids come from right here, as terms of the campers, but also in terms of the staff. So we had 99 people on staff this year in total. Excuse me. I apologize for that. That's a healthy number, obviously, although there were still some deficiencies in some areas. Lifeguards in particular we struggled with throughout the summer. We were able to manage, but there were some shortages through some of the sessions. Looks like we'll be okay next year. There's some younger people who will be of age to lifeguard and who are qualified. But it's just the legislation. We require 3 lifeguards a week, and that's just the way that goes. So continue to pray to that end, that the staffing needs. We think of young people through the north, and this is just the reality of where things are at right now. When you visit the various northern assemblies who make up most of the staffing complement for camp. So if you go through the assemblies, so in Elk Lake, there are no young people. That's a very small assembly. Very few people at all, let alone teenagers. You go to New Liskeard, and there may be a couple who aren't, who haven't come on staff. They work through the summer, and so that, you know, one or two people there in New Liskeard that would be available to come to camp as young people. Kirkland Lake, there are no young people. Matheson, there are no young people. What I mean by young people are teenagers. So, say grade 9 and up. So, Kirkland Lake, none. Matheson, none. Iroquois Falls, none. One girl going into grade 9, I believe, or going into grade 8. BFA, there are no young people to my knowledge. And so you do the math, and you look around and you think, wow, that's sobering. That's sobering to think. And I know these things are cyclical. Now we look here and we have a number of young people. We're very thankful, and SBF, and so the Sudbury Bible Fellowship. And so between Grace Chapel and SBF, this is the majority of the staffing is coming from here. So this summer, out of the 99 staff members, 33 were from Grace Chapel. That's not just young people. I mean, that's some older people, older young people, and some of you, right? And then from Sudbury, we had 30. So between, as I said, Grace and SBF, that's over 60 of the, you know, two-thirds of the staff are from these two assemblies. So we're certainly grateful for that, but it just is interesting when we look around and see where things are at and what's going on in some of these places. When I mentioned staff, the number of staff, I'm not including the many of you who do other things camp-related and help the operation, such as the construction in the off-season, such as purchasing or bringing the groceries out, picking up the order, the weekly order at Yiggs, and driving it out to camp. Never think those are small things. Those are very significant, very helpful. It takes a lot of players on the team to make the camp sessions work and run efficiently. And so we're very grateful for every one of you who play some type of role. Not all of you can physically be there. That's understandable. Some can play some role, and all of you can pray. And we're thankful for that work as well, because that's essential. That's essential. We can run ourselves ragged physically, but if we're not people of prayer, and if we're not upholding this work before the Lord, then we're just really chasing our tails, and we're like gerbils on a wheel, right? Being really busy, expending a lot of energy, but going nowhere, right? We don't want to be those. We don't want to be the gerbils, right? We don't want to be that kind of people. And so we're just some of the physical work that goes on. As you know, there's been a lot of changes in the facilities over the last 8-9 years. We've been able to replace buildings yearly, and the plan for this fall is to replace. This will be a bit of a phase work here. Our goal is to rebuild the craft shaft beside the garage. If you're familiar with the camp layout, you know where the garage is. You know there's an open space there. The new craft shaft will go there. That work will commence very soon. We're going to tear down the existing craft shaft in order to make room for a new cabin in that place. That's a good location for a new cabin. Actually, to replace an existing cabin and put it there, so it makes most sense. Understanding the layout of the camp, that's a spot we need, and so it's a bit of a domino effect. But I think in time, so we're looking at the next, really, if the Lord allows and blesses us with the resources and is not return, we have really about 10 years planned in terms of the phases in which buildings are going to be replaced in the order they're going to be replaced. And so we have a fairly long-term view there, and just trust the Lord with that. And we've been thankful for His provision. When we commenced the Greenwood Manor 3 years ago, and we knew that was a necessity. The existing chapel building was literally falling apart and was fast approaching the unsafe condition. We knew we had to replace it. And we just before the Lord as a board, there are a dozen board members, and we knew before the Lord this was, if the work was going to continue, he would have to provide, and he did. That building cost about $100,000. We didn't have any of that when we started that building, and we weren't in debt. The bills were paid as were needed. That's the hand of God providing for His work. We just trust that way, and we've seen that happen. Many of you have seen that happen in your own lives personally, and that's not a name it and claim it type of faith. That's an honest counsel of people before the Lord seeking His will. And when we're unanimous and feel that this is not frivolous, this is something that's of necessity, we just trust He will provide. And He has. He's shown Himself faithful. It's the Lord's work. And we looked at expectantly for Him to provide. So we don't go about doing our own thing on our own time. We know this is for the Lord and for His eternal glory. And it's been going on 59 years now. Next year will be the 60th. We'll have a little open house day. Those details will be forthcoming as the year next year approaches. But 60 years, and we're thankful that the legacy continues. And so many of you, so many in the community have been touched by that work. And you come across people and who have, you'll say, yeah, I was there as a child, or I know someone who, you know, it's often the case that you come across people through town. And again, it's just that sowing of seed. We see a lot of kids come and go. And many of the children, we expect to see kids get saved at camp. We pray to that end. They come in, they're immersed in the Word of God through the week. Two chapel sessions a day, plus all through the day, hopefully that the message they hear is being reinforced by what they see in our lives. I trust that's the case. And I think of some of the conversations we had through the summer, some of these young people that stay behind. We always invite them to stay behind at the end of the evening chapels in particular. If they have questions, we don't coerce, we don't pressure, we don't manipulate. They're children. Right, and it's easy to manipulate children. We make a real mindful effort not to do that, but we want to give them opportunity to ask their questions. And I recall sitting with one young fella night after night back in July, a junior boys camp, and here was a young fella who really typified the questioner, and he was maybe 11 years old, and had good questions, thoughtful questions. They're not frivolous questions. And I thought, my goodness, here's a boy who's processing these things in a very real, mature way, and they're weighing on him, and he's curious, and he wants answers. And that's a thrill. That's a real thrill. And that's really what it's all about. When we sit there and think that's rewarding. And I remember some of his questions. He asked the typical questions like, where did God come from and how could He be forever? I mean, that's sort of the standard, right? You know, you get those usually week after week, and everybody wonders about that. Who created God, or how was God forever? I mean, that sort of thing. And perhaps you've wondered that yourself. That's a typical question. But I remember one of his questions, and this is almost humorous, but he wasn't meaning it to be humorous. He was sincere in his questioning. He asked, if I pray to God, or when I pray to God, I don't hear Him. He doesn't answer me. Why is that? Why can't I hear His voice? Is he shy? I said, no, God's not shy. And he thought for a second, and he looked, and his eyes wide open wide. Is he like a secret agent? And he doesn't want us to know where he is? I thought, well, that's, you know, I don't think that's that either. But, you know, he wasn't trying to be funny, but he was just trying to process and make sense of it. Where we're telling him, God hears your prayers. We tell him, God is everywhere. God is real. God can hear you. God is present. And the only thing missing from that list was God speaking. And it didn't make sense to him. Right? Why wouldn't he talk? If he can do anything, isn't it a very simple matter just to open his mouth and communicate with me? And to an 11-year-old boy, that was perplexing. Didn't make sense. Why wouldn't he? Why would he withhold something so basic, something so simple? And those aren't easy questions to answer, are they? Sometimes we think of simple questions, but not simplistic. And he had a whole list, and every night he would stay and ask and wonder. It's hard to know sometimes where these things end up. We entrust them to the Lord, and we pray, and just thankful for the opportunity. But that's just one example, of course, and there, you know, many of them. As these opportunities present themselves. Again, it's a good, many of you have experienced the camp work. So I'm speaking to people who are there for much of the time, and you're a part of that. You're a partner in that work. And I just encourage you with that. And again, on behalf of the camp, to thank you for your involvement in the ministry, sending your children, your grandchildren. I trust when they come back, they have good things to say and that they're encouraged. They have fun, of course. That's necessary for them to come back. If they don't have fun, they're not going to return. But we're very mindful of the reality that camp is not, it's not a playground. It's a battleground. It's a spiritual war that's being waged. And we as staff want to be mindful of that and prepared for that. So we're thinking and looking out here, and in terms of the board composition, they're from our assembly represented by Ian and Rick and myself, and there's representation from the various northern assemblies, and we get together 2-3 times a year to pray, to plan, and to put into action this work. And so if you think ahead, it seems like a long ways off because we just finished camp, but there's work to be done this fall in preparation for next year. And so if you're able, there'll be some physical work to be done, some construction, deconstruction. You've got to tear down, and then we'll build up, just like the Marines. And so if you're interested, you have time, you're available, you'd like to be a part of that, even for a day or an afternoon or something, you can see me, but well, I'll be putting you in touch with likely Pierre from Iroquois Falls, who oversees these things for the most part. Getting back to our parable, just as we close here, just a few thoughts, and I'm not gonna, I don't want to go too long on this. Greg did a good job this morning at working through this, and just some thoughts I had. That throughout our time in ministry, whatever it is, we're all called to minister, right? We're all called to be involved in the Lord's work, and whether you're quote full time or not, that's not the question. We're called to serve where we're at, and so we're all going to encounter all these various types of soil, aren't we? They're out there. They're the people you rub shoulders with, and so you've seen it, you've experienced it firsthand. These various types, and I just would say this: don't be concerned about the math. And what I mean by that is this: there was a time when I looked at the parable, and I'm absolutely convinced now that it's not what Christ was teaching. And so I'm glad I don't think I ever said it from the platform. I hope I didn't, as I think I would be wrong. But I don't think he's teaching us a mathematical equation. That is, only 25% are going to be responsive. He's laying out a principle here. Yes, there'll be more who reject than accept. I think that's evident in experientially as we look around and as we talk to people, that there are fewer people who actually acknowledge who God is and receive him as their own Savior. But I don't think it's 75% and then 25%. I'm quite convinced that he's not giving us a mathematical formula. But we're all called to be faithful sowers. In the same way that we can't make seed grow, if you think of physical seed, you take seed and you put it in the ground, you can't make that seed grow. There's not a thing you can do to make it grow, is there? What do you do? You nurture a right environment. There's certain things you can control, but there are a lot of things you can't control. And even the things you can control, even if you do control them, the seed might still not grow. And so I think here there's some real pressure that's taken off of us. That Christ isn't saying, he's saying go out and sow the seed, right? We'll go out and sow. We're being faithful. We're speaking truth, the eternal word of God into people's lives. And whether that takes root or not, that's not our area of responsibility. Right? I can't make someone believe. We would like to, but it doesn't work that way. We're called to be faithful sowers. And so there's encouragement in that. Just like we can't make physical plants grow, we can't make them grow. We water the seed. We put it in the right soil. We nurture that. Well, that's what we do, right? We're to provide the right environment. And so we're to be nurturers. We're to be encouragers. We're to provide accurate teaching when we open up the Word of God. It can speak without us, right? People, I know of people who've read the Word of God without anyone else around, and they've seen the truth, right? And they've received that into their hearts. The Word of God is living and active. But God calls us to partnership with the Spirit of God in these things. And so we are to speak accurately, to understand the Word of God. And that's a growing process as well. And as we have opportunity, as we go through our day, whether it's at camp in a very intensified type of environment where it's easy to open up the Word of God in that type of environment because people are coming to hear it. At the workplace, it's not so much so. And in your neighborhood, maybe not. But we're all called to be faithful, and as the opportunities arise, as we live Christ and as we grow closer to Him, as a relationship with Him grows and matures, as we enjoy Him, as we become more like Him, and then that life flows through us, and people are they're either attracted to that or they're repelled by that in the same way they were to Christ Himself. Right? When they came in contact with the Lord Jesus, some were drawn and they fell at their feet, at His feet, and worshiped Him as God. And others cursed Him to His face. And so the response to us, as the Spirit of God works through us, well, I fully expect to be the same. Various types of soil, or to be faithful sowers. And so just to be encouraged, that's just a little report, a little summary of what we're up to. And just again, thank you on behalf of Diane and our girls for supporting us, for encouraging us and loving us as you do. Unconditionally. We just look forward to the year ahead, what that brings. If the Lord doesn't return before the end of the year, or before next year, we just press on daily. And again, thank you. We'll end here. I'll just pray. And I don't know if I beat Greg or not. Close, maybe. Father, we're thankful for brief time together and just for the opportunities to share in the work that's yours. And it's a good work because it's your work. It's an eternal work, and we want to pour ourselves into it faithfully. Thank you for this fellowship of believers that we can serve together in something that's worthwhile. And help us to have that common vision, to grow in our love for the Savior, to know Him more and more, and to that life, that eternal life, that abundant life that would flow through us and it would just pour out to those around us. We pray as the seed is sown that it would bear fruit, that it would fall on the good soil. Father, we know people come in these doors week after week. Some are searching earnestly for something real. We pray that their hearts would be open to you. We pray that we would be people going out and about in this the neighborhoods and the community here, the arena, the grocery store, the workplace. Father, where we go about living life, that we would be seed sowers, that we would just be faithful in that endeavor and trust the results to you. Father, we again give thanks, and for each one here, for each family that's here, we just pray your blessing. And for this evening and this long weekend, we thank you for just the beautiful weather and for your goodness and just graced upon us in so many ways. Lord, we want to be seekers first of the kingdom of God. And may we start out this week, we pray to that end. In the name of our Lord Jesus, the risen Christ, amen.